Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Jesse DePlantis here, and it's my wonderful wife, Catherine.
And we're here for another chat.
Yes.
This is part two of our...
Part two.
Part two.
And we have not had this clothes on for a week. What we did, we taped what you saw last week, and it was so good, we didn't want to break the flow of it. And last week, we started out with part one, and the title of it is Love is the Antidote for Fear. Mm-hmm. Now, we want to deal with part two. Before we get into it, do you have fear in your life? If you do, I have an answer for you in 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. It says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Hmm. And I started off with the program last week that I've been all over the world, and I've noticed in abundance fear and in abundance love. But yet the two it's like matter and antimatter. Love will destroy it. See, but it has to be cast out. We want to get into it. And Kathy began to read some of the wonderful different translations on the gifts of the Spirit, where you were talking about what
there. Well, about love. Well, the
about
gifts
love
of the Spirit
and what it
is
means.
In the previous chapter, of chapter 12, but it says, and all these things are great, but if you don't have love, none of that matters.
Yeah, and I said this last week, and I want to say this again. Because when I wasn't born again, everything in me was dead. Hmm. So I didn't want to go to church. I didn't really even talk much about God and whatever, this and the thing. So I never saw sin. I want to start that, this part two with that. I never did till I got born again. The night before I had done this rock concert in this club. It was powerful, beautiful place. I got born again. And when I went back into this less than 24 hours, okay? I mean, for the first time I went, God, what is this? But now love had come in my life. Now, I told you this last week, and I messed up on, I had John, but it was, I said that love, that the Bible talks about God is love, God is light, and God is spirit. And in St. John chapter 4, verse 24, he says, God is a spirit.
Right.
Then if you go to 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, I just love it, they say God is love. Then if you go to 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, it says God is light. Light, love, spirit. And that's what we are, see. And I told you last week that love and fear coexist only if your love is not perfected. Now, God gave us this wonderful word so we could perfect everything. You know, with faith and patience. You know, perfect love casts out of fear. But the Bible said, let patience have its perfect work, that you're perfect. It uses that word perfect, or matured.
And entire, lacking nothing, it says.
See, this is a thing that I know happens all the time, and I want to get into this. I don't know how it happens. How can anybody backslide? Hmm. Why would you want to? I preached a sermon probably 47 years ago. What in hell do you want? What does hell have to offer that you're willing to go back there? Then it dawned on me the reason why people backslide, they've never perfected their love. Hmm. Actually, they ignored the love of God, and it began to decay in their lives.
Well, you know, it's hard for some people to believe the love because they don't love themselves.
Right.
Jesus said, I have loved you as much as I love the Father.
As my Father has loved me. Yeah,
as much as the Father loves me, he loves them. He was telling me it's not just that we're to love one another. He brought it to another level. He says, a new commandment that I give you is that you love one another as I have loved you. So that's different than loving one another like you love yourself, which is love yourself, your neighbors, you love yourself, which was what the Old Testament talked about and Jesus even talked about. And that's a good thing too, but not everybody loves themselves. So that really doesn't help that type of person. But his challenge, his new commandment was that you love one another as I have loved you. And Jesus loved such a level of love. It's hard to comprehend,
I got to break in here. You said something about your image. People don't love themselves because they've never seen what image they were created in. Hmm. You were created in the image of God. Hmm. See, the image of God. So anybody says, I don't love myself, you don't know how you were created. You have never really seen your image. Hmm. Because in Genesis, he said, he created male and female, created he them. And, you know, he said, he created in his image and his likeness. Now, when you begin to talk like that bothers church people. Because they think you're cocky, or you think you're God. No, but I am a product of God. I am a son of God that serves. See, what people don't seem to understand, if you don't think God loved, the perfected love, I'm gonna get some persecution on it. You are in a higher class than angels because they were created as servants. When you got born again, God created you as sons and daughters, family. You see what I'm saying? And that's one of the most amazing things. My daughter does not have to have permission to come to my house at 2 o'clock in the morning, knock on the door and wake us all up. Why? Family. Well, God doesn't have to have permission to wake me up at 2 o'clock in the morning and let's talk. Mm-hmm. You see, that's perfected love doing those things. And I feel real strong right now to say to people that are watching that don't have a good image of yourself, go read Genesis chapter 1. Well, I'm going to read it for you. So you can go and you can read Genesis page 1 of the Bible. That'll help you. I mean, you can't hardly miss page 1. And look what it says. And it's just such a simple statement, yet it's very, very powerful. And I believe it's Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, I think it is. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Now, he goes on to say something. I want to talk about that. So you've been made in the image of God and his likeness. Mm-hmm. That's why man has the ability to create, because you came from a creator. Do you see what I'm saying? That's why he gave us power over everything on the planet. Yet animals are way stronger than us. A lion will take you out in a second. A gorilla will wipe you out. But because of your intelligence created in the image of God, see? And likeness, he made you ruler over something that's more powerful than you in terms of natural strength. Well, you have to have that love perfected. So let me go back to that statement. It's hard for me to understand why anybody, and I know it happens, why anybody would backslide. Why? Because you really have not seen your image and what you was created to look like. Because maybe the church wouldn't let you. Well, now don't get greedy. Don't get crazy with this thing. It's not being crazy. You are what you are. You see what I'm saying? Now, you can say you're like, we have all this gender junk going on around the world. But, you know, and say, well, I'm a woman trapped in a man's body, or I'm a man trapped in a woman. That's wrong. See, that's your intellect. That's just your soul is messing you up.
You know, I heard something about that,
Jesse. Let me finish my statement. If you died in 10,000 years from now, they found you in the sand or something, and they did DNA, and you said, I am a woman trapped in a man's body, you... No, you are a woman. Your DNA tells you what you are.
10,000 years from now will show what you were when you were born biologically.
Not what you felt.
But I heard someone say one time, this man said, you know, I was a man trapped inside of a woman's body, but then I was born as a baby. Anyway, but says you was a man in your mama.
I got you.
Yeah. That's the joke.
That's a joke.
But it only happens that way. It's the only way that a man...
A little weak.
in a woman's body.
Right,
Is before you're born.
I'm still trying to figure that one out here, praise the Lord.
Oh, it's funny. I heard Jonathan Shuttlesworth say that. It was hilarious.
It was hilarious.
It made sense. He says, I was a man inside of a woman's body. He says, but then I was born as a baby.
As a baby. And when you understand that, you see, that's when I look at myself. Now, you're gonna get mad when I say that. And I wish all Christians would believe what I just say. I love myself. Now, I'm not talking about this here. I'm talking about my spirit. I'm created in the express image of God. So you could say, it's like what's flowing through me in my spirit is liquid love, for lack of a better way to say it. Like we have liquid blood flowing, which is life in the blood. See, liquid love, see? Liquid God flowing inside of you, because God is love.
Amen.
So that's the reason why so many people don't understand. And you know, that's a major reason why a lot of people commit suicide. They get so depressed.
They don't love themselves.
No.
They don't.
And
love
they figure
anybody.
They say, well, you know, I'm not nothing. And so I just might as well end this. And that's a terrible thing. With the church being so prevalent in the world today. But a lot of times the church is not preaching love. They're preaching legalism.
Condemnation.
Do this. If you don't do this, you're going to hell. You know, and everybody knows most people know what they do when it's wrong. There's something inside you go, you shouldn't be doing that kind of stuff. See what I'm saying? But when you preach the love of God, and you know what? You need to preach on sin because that's love. You see, I couldn't get over why God put that cherub. You know, when in Adam and Eve, when they were expelled from the garden, he put that chair with that flaming sword, and it moved in all directions, but you couldn't get around it. That was an act of love. Why? Because if Adam and Eve could have got back in that garden and eat of the tree of life, they would have lived in a sinful state for eternity.
Yeah.
But God did that so that they would grow old and pass, so that he could send Jesus to redeem them.
That's good.
And
so
then raise them up. Hmm. We're going to meet Adam and Eve, ladies and gentlemen. They're going to be raised up. Everyone that's ever died is going to be raised up. Do you understand? And judgment will come. Would it be a good judgment? Would it be a bad judgment? You know, it's according to what you did on this earth. What you do here determines what you'll be and what you do when you stand before God, and God says, come and enter into the love of God, or depart from me, you work of iniquity. I knew you not. You see what I'm saying? So what happens is, and I can't understand this or nothing, why people say, God, put that sickness on to teach you something. What?
That's perverted love.
What? Yeah. I'm going to put some cancer cells in it to destroy your body so you'll learn. No. You wouldn't do that to your child, would you? Especially if you love the child. Think about that for
not.
A minute.
Of course not.
No, you wouldn't do that. So what makes you think God, who can love more than we can love, would do that? And yet the churches preach that. And you know why? They preach God as a God of fear. Mm. You see, so the perfect love of God casted out fear, but they preferred the fear to make you serve God. And God don't make you serve him. He asks. He created you with a free will. Now, I like that. Now, sometimes I tell God, I wish you wouldn't have done it. And then he gave me this statement. He said, the reason why I created everybody free, with a free will, you could walk toward me or walk away from me. You never really know if somebody loves you until they have the ability to walk away from you. Then you find out. You see what I'm, you understand what I'm saying? So we're talking about that love is the antidote to fear.
I like that. And you know, I read this verse last week, and we talked a little bit about it, and it's the Passion Translation of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and verse 7, you really liked.
It's
the last one. It says, love is a safe place of shelter, for it never stops believing the best for others. Love never takes failure as defeat, for it never gives up. But that phrase, love is a safe place of shelter. There's a reference here I wanted to read, because in the King James, I think it says, love bears all things.
Right.
And the description here in the comment here, it says, although commonly understood to mean that love can bear hardships of any kind, the nominalized form of the verb stego, it says, is actually the word for roof. Found in Mark 2 and 4, it says, Paul is saying that love covers all things like a roof covers the house. And in 1 Peter chapter 4, 8, it says, love does not focus on what is wrong, but will bear with the shortcomings of others. And like a roof protects and shields you, you could say that love springs no leak. It's a safe place. That offers shelter, not exposure. That's the description in the Passion Translation for this verse. It's a little reference mark. Isn't that great?
Well, you know, that's in the marriage vow. Well, you love her, protect her. You see, in other words, that it's like a roof.
Yeah.
You know, and it works on both sides, her and you. See,
and
together.
You know, that just reminds me how we talk about how when we know God, we're basically, although we're in this world, we're not of the world, but God's has what we call an umbrella of protection on the body, on the person that knows him. So no matter what's going on in the world, you can have a peace knowing that you have God's promises, his protection available to you.
I got a good example of it the other day. Just in a minute, we got some of the biggest umbrellas you have ever seen in your life across the parking lot.
It's a two-person employee, because usually it's someone helping you get to your car.
You need to cover two people. We have Forrest Gump rain.
Fat rain.
We got fat rain.
Sideways rain.
I mean, we got
rain. Cussing like it come about the ground rain.
One thunderstorm can
you
drop
can get
3 inches.
In seconds.
Oh, like that. I mean, we got a thunderstorm, 3 inches, 4 inches, bam, you know, just that quick. And flood, you'll flood. But the other day, it was raining. We call it cats and dogs. I've never seen cats and dogs come out of the sky. But make a joke, I grabbed this umbrella, and it's so big, it's bigger than this table. I mean, now it's wet I mean, raining. And I got the umbrella, and I'm holding it, and not a drop of water is hitting me. I mean, everywhere. And not a drop of water hitting me. That's the love of God. Mm-hmm. Through hard times, stay under the umbrella.
That's good.
It's a big umbrella.
I love
now,
that.
Now, water going everywhere. You see? I mean, raining. Watch this. And then the rain began to change direction. You know what I did with the umbrella? I turned it so the wind wouldn't blow it on me.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see what
that's
I'm saying?
That's sideways rain coming in.
That's sideways. Stinging rain. I love Forrest Gump. I thought that was great. You see what I'm saying?
Another movie
Tom Hanks, man. I think he's a great actor. So when you understand that, that umbrella, that safety harbor. In other words, you can walk through life when it's raining.
Mm-hmm.
Because God gave you something that loves you so much,
and that's
you'll not get wet.
And also he talks about in the Bible, the shield of faith.
The shield of faith.
You know, and it's
now,
all
you know what's wrong with people on the shield of faith? They carry the darts on the shield.
Yeah,
which is kind of heavy. That faith stuff's kind of hard because you're carrying the fiery darts. Knock the darts off and just keep the shield of faith.
Yeah, don't look at those darts.
Right.
Get
you know
rid
what I'm
them.
Saying? It just works that
Trust
way.
God.
So perfect love casteth out all fear. I want to go back to our original verse of 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. That fear is not made perfect in him. And then verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. Mm-hmm. You know, I believe, and I mean this sincerely, that we should all put God first, spiritually, physically, and financially. Now, I'm going to say something here, and it's going to probably make some people mad. If anybody likes sports, I like sports. I do. I love football. I like baseball. I don't know much about soccer, you know, but, you know, once you understand something, you can fall in love with it. Like, I'm a musician. I've played a lot of music, but I don't really understand opera that much. But I know it takes great talent to sing and hit those notes and things. But my point is this, when you understand what I'm about ready to say. Okay, now watch this. You know, I love sports, but I don't put it ahead of God. I want to see a game so bad sometimes, but I have to do something the Lord wants me to do. I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I'm not being critical, but I will not miss church to watch a game.
Mm.
Are you saying it's a sin? No, I didn't say that. I mean, I let you handle that between you and God. I'm not here to judge you. But to me, I'm talking about first. Seek ye first. So you can't get second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, whatever, till you seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Seek ye first.
Right.
But, you know, but I know a lot of people that do that.
Well, I think...
And they've grown accustomed to it like it's nothing.
Right. I think it's a lot of it is stemmed from the fact that sometimes we use the word love too loosely. You know, instead of saying I love sports, what some people really do love sports.
And there's not a thing wrong with that.
They can say I enjoy sports. So let's use the right word. Use the word I love Jesse. I love you, Jesse.
You know what, that's great. I love you too, Mom. I said it first. I said I did it on purpose.
Did you?
I did.
I think I caught you.
No, you didn't catch
me. The whole world saw it.
The whole world saw it.
See what I put up with?
Now you see, she just did
But
that.
Love bears all things.
Here we go with the banter
I'm a
again.
Shelter. That's okay.
But you know, it's a sad thing that you would put that ahead of God. What would happen if it was the Super Bowl?
And
Jesus would come, and the game ain't over. Would you be angry at Jesus? No, don't take me now. I want to see who's going to win. Nothing against the Super Bowl. I like the Super Bowl. I love all that. I'm trying to make a point here. You see, I just don't put
keep
it...
Keep things in perspective.
You have to keep things in perspective. Now, well,
and
what about those Christian guys that played on Sunday? You know, the Christian quarterbacks of the Kansas City Chiefs and the San Francisco 49ers. Well, you know, there's a lot of times God said, if you don't work, you don't eat. That to us, they're playing. To them, that's work.
Right.
That's
it is
their
work,
job.
But, you know, Jesus also said, don't esteem one day above the other. You can get religious in things.
Right.
And I don't think that's what you're really talking about.
No.
But it's all about putting God first. And there are times when God wants us to enjoy life, and there are exceptions to things. But you have to you know in your heart whether God is first or something else is first.
Okay.
And this is what he's getting at.
I'm going to tell you this. This is one of my personal convictions. Now, this probably wouldn't affect you at all. I love movies. I do enjoy watching movies and things of that nature. But when I'm preaching a meeting, okay, or a series of services or whatever. And sometime I'll have a break in between, you know, maybe I'll only do a morning service. I don't have to be there at night. I could go see an afternoon matinee, but I don't do that. Why? Because that day belongs to the Lord. Now, that's just me. I'm not saying if you went, that's wrong, because that's not wrong.
And it's not necessarily a Sunday, but no matter what day that is.
Yes,
not necessarily
what it is. You see what
I'm saying? Because you've dedicated your mind.
But there is a day of the Lord, Kathy. He said, don't esteem one day above another. And that's true. But you got to, you know, I figure out is it 160 hours in a week? I think it is. You know,
I don't know.
If you're a Catholic, 28 minutes, Mass. If you're a Baptist, 60 minutes, an hour. If you're a Pentecostal, you're going to get 2 hours or better, you know, depending on what it is, you know. And I'm not being critical of that. But I'm saying that's not a lot in the whole week. And God expects you to work. So sometimes you work, you can't go quote the church. Now, church is in your heart. Don't misunderstand me. I understand that. And God's in your heart. That's part of it. But I mean, when you have an opportunity of a choice, sometimes you don't have a choice. You got to work. Got to do something. Okay, I understand that. And so I think the quarterbacks, and I believe they're Christians, you know, the ones that just, they just won the Kansas City Chiefs won the Super Bowl. Mahomes, I believe he's a Christian. I believe Purdy is his name, Purdy. But that's, they had to do a job there, see. That's a job. You know, that's what they get paid for, to do that. See, so I'm not talking that. But I'm talking when you have an opportunity, you should never put anything first. Not long ago.
Above God, you mean?
Above God, yeah. You don't put, he's first. That has to be foremost in your life. For example, God will bless you. Sometimes he don't want you, let's say if it's money and you want something, you think, well, I'm going to give it to him. Oh, yeah, you can do that, but he may not be requiring you to do that, and that's an honorable thing that you did do it.
Right.
But, you know, a person asked me the other day, and now some people are going to disagree with what I'm about ready to say. What's the difference between tithing and a seed? Well, tithing is with the seed of Abraham. I consider that mandatory. Seed giving, that's voluntary. You know, you give as the Lord directs you and guides you. You know, giving it shall be given unto you. See, you're saying that kind of stuff. Now, the reason why I tithe, some people say that's not for today. It's under the law. No, it's not under the law. But my point is this. You're not the seed of Moses. When he wrote the law, your name wasn't on the tablets. You're the seed of Abraham. And if you want it in the New Testament, you can go to Hebrews 7. And Jesus is the priest on Melchizedek, on the order of Melchizedek. And what did Abraham do? He gave tithe to Melchizedek. So Jesus is our Melchizedek. We do the same. Now, to me, that's mandatory to me. Now, that doesn't mean I'm going to go to hell if I didn't. I'm not judging anybody about any of that. But to me, that's putting God first. And if you go back to Malachi, will a man rob God? So God thought it robbery. Not that he needed it. It was because of the heart of a person. And he was talking to the preachers there in Malachi, to the priests and different things of that nature. So, you know, it's amazing to me. I just will not, and I refuse to put something else ahead of God. Have you ever done it before? Yeah, and I repented over it. Yeah. I knew I wasn't right. You know what I'm saying? I said, Lord, forgive me. And he does. That's not the issue.
Right.
But you see, so have you ever thought about backsliding? No. One time when I first got saved, I never thought that Satan could get to me. I didn't know nothing about the Word of God. And somebody slapped me and I got real angry. And I thought, son, God, you let that happen to me. That's it. I'm getting out of here. I'm going back, and I'm heading to a bar I used to like called Don and Curly's. But I had a praying wife. She began to pray. And to make a long story short, man, I guess she sent an angel over there. I couldn't open up the door to call when I got there. I did everything I could to open that door. I mean, I beat up my shoulder. And then all of a sudden, I come to myself.
And I remember praying and praying in tongues. And I remember the Lord, I felt I was led by the Spirit in my, you know, you can be led by the Spirit in your prayer life. It's so powerful. And I was led to pray, and figuratively, I'll say, I plead the blood of Jesus over every door in my house. And I physically walked around my little tiny, not even 1,000 square foot house, put my, figuratively, like I was putting the blood over the doorpost the way Moses did when that death angel came by, putting over every door, every window, and I was doing this. And then you were here in a car, in the car, in front of that barroom, in that car, and that door wouldn't open. And I know that was, I didn't realize I was pleading the blood of Jesus over everything, every door that I owned.
I was literally
hitting it. And it wouldn't open.
Like this. And finally, I came to myself, and I repented. I said, God, forgive me. I mean, my Lord, I mean, if I can't take a hit, I mean, I ain't much of a Christian. Forgive me for doing that. Watch this. And I had my hand on that door, boom, the door opened. I believe there was an angel holding that door. And I went back home, and Kathy was so glad that I, because I was really angry.
I remember you left angry, and I was praying, and then when you came back, you act like nothing happened. You came back, I think you went to the grocery store.
Yeah,
you came
I did.
Back
I
with
mean,
a bag
I,
of groceries.
Now, why
acting
did
like
I,
nothing happened.
Now, why did I do that? Why? My love was not perfected.
That's true.
I had to have time, as I told you last week, for time to perfect that. Now, today, that's
we're,
a whole
we're
nother ballgame.
We're all growing. Game. Yeah, you were
you see,
growing.
You have to grow. See, and I didn't know any of the scriptures, so I couldn't go to the Bible myself and try to find something. I was trying to, but I didn't know where anything was and
was
things
just,
of that nature.
Right. You know, when you're saying that, I just thought about Peter, how, you know, he betrayed Christ.
Yeah. The same Jesus, thing he did, the same thing Judas did.
He did. And he said, Jesus had forewarned him. He says, Satan hath desired to sift you, but I have prayed for you. And when you are converted, he says, I want you to reach out to your brother.
Right.
I forget the last part of that verse, but he foresaw that, and Jesus and Peter had said, oh, I would never forsake you.
Well, he said the same thing about that dream. I have never eaten anything that's common.
Peter
he's
had
one of them never, never.
No,
people.
No. Peter had a foot and mouth disease. He's always putting his foot in his mouth.
Yeah.
He did it often, shows us that God forgave
and we all
him,
do.
He can forgive us. But Peter did hear himself deny Christ three times before that cock crowed, before the rooster crowed.
That's right.
And so at some point, the one Trent Bible, one of the Gospels talks about how Peter looked at Jesus, said that they looked eye to eye when they saw him, when he recognized that he had done that. That's why he was so sorrowful and he was so upset with himself.
Here's the difference between Peter and Judas.
Yeah.
Both of them sinned. They betrayed Christ.
Betrayed Christ.
Now, here's the difference between them. Peter knew God could forgive him. Judas knew Jesus could forgive him. Or let me say, Peter knew Jesus could forgive him. The difference between Peter and Judas could not forgive himself. He listened to an outlaw spirit. And the Bible said Satan entered him. Peter not only knew Jesus could forgive him, but he forgave himself. Because Peter understood that he was made in the express image of God.
Yeah.
Judas didn't. Do you see the difference right there?
Yeah.
And that'll help you to understand.
I love that.
See, so perfect love casted out all fear. And before you say, I want to pray for people. I feel right now that some people, they got this fear thing, and we want to inject you, give you a shot of love. Can we do that? Father, in Jesus' name, I speak to everyone watching this boardroom chat. You wanted to do a part two on it.
Yes,
and gave
Lord.
Us a title, Lord, that love is the antidote to fear. I rebuke fear. I command it to cease and desist from its work in people's lives. What fear of spiritual, physical, financial, whatever it might be. Well, you said if two of us agree, well, Kathy's one and I'm two, and the people that are hearing us, who knows how many are hearing us? I ask this to happen today. Today.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, and let that love of God, that peace of God, let that love be perfected, that fear will no longer have a place in someone's spirit, soul, or body in any way, shape, or form, because God is love.
Amen.
And I thank you for hearing my prayer today.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name. Now, if you prayed that with me, I know you felt like a lift. I felt that in my spirit, like, you know why? The fear is gone. Now, keep your body so full of perfected love, your soul so full of perfected love, your spirit so full of perfected love that now when fear comes, it can't fit. It can't fit. The Bible said he make the bones fat. Stay fat in the Word of God. Hallelujah. And then nothing else will be able to fit. You see what I'm saying? And you'll walk your life, and then you'll never think about backsliding. I didn't mean to cut you off, but go ahead.
We've got
a couple of minutes.
That's good. But this is the flip side of this. You know how before Jesus was crucified, he denied Christ three times, but after Jesus was resurrected, he revealed himself to the disciples again. Did I say Peter?
Yeah, no, you said Jesus.
Yeah, thank you for helping me with that.
I got to help a little bit.
Jesus, right? When Peter denied Christ, that Christ three times before he was crucified. Then after Jesus was resurrected, Jesus came to his disciples, and I love it in John chapter 21 when Jesus asked Peter the question three different times again, basically reminding him. Mm-hmm. And so he says, and he gave him some fish or something. They were at a lake. He says that's what he had also multiplied the fish. It's a beautiful story in John chapter 21, verse 15 says, this is the New Living Translation. After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, Peter replied, you know I love you. Then feed my lambs, Jesus told him. Jesus repeated the question, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, Peter said, you know I love you. Then take care of my sheep. Jesus said the third time he asked him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And then Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. And he said, Lord, you know everything. You know I love you. Then feed my sheep. So this was three times that he denied him before the crucifixion.
You printed all three times right there.
Then three times he brought it all back. But Jesus was reaching out to him and realized, and Peter said, you know, I thought I loved you before then, but then he knew. So we have to all come to a spot where we know God's love in a deeper way. And Amen. It's a growing process. So don't get discouraged if you don't feel really comprehended. It takes, Peter was with Jesus 3 years and didn't quite get it. But don't give up on it. Just keep searching God, seeking. Realize that he always loves you.
We said that in part one.
He doesn't love you because of what, you know, we're always working and growing, but he loves us because we belong to him.
Amen.
Just the same way that when a baby is born, you love it because it's yours. We belong to God, and he loves us. And so he's always wanting to help us to live for him and experience the beautiful love that he has for us.
So let me say this today, that the love of God in you is the antidote to fear. So never allow it to come into your life.
That's right.
In any way, shape, or form.
It'll cast it out.
You have many opportunities to fail. Just don't take any. That's the love of God. Remember, God is light, God is love, and God is spirit. Mm. And all three facets of God is focused on you. And if you focus on that priority, you'll eliminate all this confusion that's in the world. I thank you for watching us today. I want to thank our faithful financial partners for helping us to do this. Man, we couldn't do it. I mean, I look at this beautiful table, and the partners bought this table, the camera they bought. I mean, my Lord, y'all bought it 100%. And we use 100% of what you give goes to world evangelism. Thank you, partners, for being so courteous and kind. If you'd like to sow a seed today, you can go to jdm.org and hit the donate button if you like, or you can use PayPal if you want. Or you can text to give a one-time donation or a recurring one. And now Kathy likes this. She likes the JDM apps where you can select the giving you like. Or you can just mail in an old-fashioned donation, a check or something like that. 100% of it goes in the world evangelism. Let me say this too. Kathy's Glorious Woman Conference is next week. That's Friday, March the 8th at 7 p.m. Saturday, March the 9th at 9 a.m. Registration, listen when I say this, registration and admission are free. Where is it at? At JDM International Headquarters. Destrehan is a suburb of New Orleans, Louisiana. If you want to know more information, go to jdm.org and you will be blessed. And I'm telling you, it's one of the most phenomenal meetings we do every year here. It's called the Glorious Conference because really what it is glorious.
Yes, it is.
And it's a blessing. So until next week, this is Jesse and Kathy saying we love you. Thank you for watching more the Boardroom Chats. And remember, love is the antidote to fear.
That's
Have a
right.
great day today. God bless. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.